microscopic tag he implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
I really do wonder sometimes what we're becoming in this country.
It's not left. It's not right. It's the state versus you. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Good afternoon. Hopefully we're coming through loud and clear this afternoon as we broadcast live from Portland, Oregon. Thank you for tuning in to Outside the Box on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're here every single day, Monday through Friday, from 11 to noon Pacific Standard Time. Well, that is 1 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. There's a new video out, a new 9/11 video, and I don't mean documentary. The Pentagon footage that we were hoping that we were going to see. You know the footage I'm talking about. The footage actually showing the plane hitting the Pentagon. Well, that's not out. But there's new Pentagon footage. That is, if anyone is even paying attention anymore. We can see from looking at this video that was played on CNN recently is an explosion. That's right. You get to see a brief explosion, but you do not see a plane hitting the Pentagon. It's not a big issue for me, just the whole issue of the plane hitting the Pentagon, because it's not the only one. I just find it strange how something bizarre like that can happen. How the government can say for years and years, this is how something happened, and then never show us the evidence. And see people, whether you want to call them neocons or even leftist gatekeepers, never want to question. But it does tell you a lot about why things are headed the way they are headed, doesn't it? I want to talk a little bit about this dark world of violent video games. And it's a personal choice, of course, how we decide, of course, to spend our free time. But there's a new study out, and I've been monitoring and looking at a few of these different experiments to determine what effect violent video games have on the brain. Well, according to this study that was released just last week, teens who play video games showed increased activity in areas of the brain linked to emotional arousal and decreased responses, that is in the regions that govern self-control. Now, the study used functional magnetic resonance imaging to record tiny metabolic changes in brain activity in 44 kids who were asked to perform a series of tasks after playing either a violent or nonviolent video game for 30 minutes. Now, they took children, first of all, that didn't have a history of behavioral problems, ranging in age from 13 to 17, have played a T-rated first-person shooter game called Medal of Honor Frontline, another propaganda game I might mention, which involves military combat, while the other group played a nonviolent video game called The Need for Speed Underground. Those games by themselves will wash kids' minds just as well. Well, those who played the violent video game showed more activation in the part of the brain which involves emotional arousal and less activation in the prefrontal portions of the brain associated with control, focus, and concentration. Now, according to some of the people there, they basically are noticing this trend and, of course, the activity that these games have upon the minds of young people. Here is an article from FoxNews.com on their front page of it right now. Police have just killed a North Carolina college student accused of stealing a PlayStation 3 console. We're going to get into that when we come back. Think about that. A world where our young are stealing PlayStations and getting murdered for that. Two wrongs making a right? I don't think so. We'll be right back and cover that story. wrong with this situation? What is wrong with this headline? Young people of America today, men, women, well, not just young, the older generation as well. They seem to have them waiting in anticipation of the new PlayStation 3 console. I don't think I have a large number of people that listen to this show, people that watch my show on TV. I don't think there's tons of people that are obsessed with video games. So I'm hoping I'm not offending a lot of you in my criticism of the video game industry. But there is so much more life to live, a life that those that target us through their marketing campaigns would rather we not live that kind of life, a life without corporate products constantly buying and consuming. So they have trained people, sheeple, whatever you choose to call them, to be good little consumers over time. Well, now here we have a youngster, an 18-year-old teenager, who apparently took this too far. His own addiction, his own escape mechanism for trying to feel the way he thinks he needs to feel, thinking this thing will make him feel that way. This thing being the new PlayStation 3. A teenager accused of robbing a student of two new PlayStation 3s on the day the popular game console was introduced was killed by police who had been sent to arrest him. He was 18 years old, killed last week on Friday at a house he shared with three roommates. According to the sheriff, he said, "This boy, if he would have come to the door, opened the door, we probably would not be talking about this right now." His roommates, which were unarmed, but may have been holding a video game controller when he went to the door as it was bashed in by officers. They were not murdered. I don't believe that they were shot. Casey said Monday he couldn't, which is one of the roommates, discuss the circumstances of the shooting, noting he is anxious to tell what happened. Asked if the deputies felt their lives were threatened, the roommate said, "Anytime you have a high-risk entry like this, you feel that your life is at risk." He declined to say what made the arrest high risk. Now, while the young man who took the PlayStation 3 consoles as a result of his own programming, his own indoctrination, he beat down the other guys. Got out of a car, I believe. And took the PlayStations. For this, though, it called upon this SWAT-like unit to come for him. We see overkill. Happening more often than it used to happen. But to really put this in the right perspective, is to go and look at how video games have shaped the minds. First of all, we'll start with that first. Of so many children, over a span of, say, I'm going to give it a little longer than the internet, 15 years. So if you take it back down to 1991 and fast forward to this time, major, major launch and the advancement from looking at the little guys on the screen. You could move around with a little joystick. We're talking back in the days of Mario Brothers. But even back during that time, you had people that were stuck in their room 10 hours a day, 15 hours a day, obsessed on their Ataris and their Nintendos on this new technology. Well, now, it's more integrated with your mind on a man-machine kind of basis. No, we're not talking about brain chips yet. Not today, at least. But you are still linking yourself up, literally, with the machine. I mean, think about it. When you play a game, and I played Grand Theft Auto, by the way. There was a point where I played and I bought, with my own money, Grand Theft Auto 3. That would be about, only about 4 years ago. My life really started to change, by the way, intensely about 2 years ago. I'll save my life story for another day. The point I'm trying to make is I've gone and I've played these games, and I had an Atari when I was young. My parents, and I never really asked them or bugged them for it, but I did a few times. Never went ahead and bought me the system. Only because they couldn't afford it, not because they had any real passionate views about video games. But you look at the advancement of it and think to yourself about the health of a child who spends 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day moving, getting a little exercise in their fingers, their fingers and their thumbs, working that console day in and day out. You know, you almost want to unplug, look that person in the face and go, what are you fighting for? Really, what are you working towards? Is this really what is making you happy? No, there's something addictive that is targeted with video games within the human brain, at the human brain, part of the human brain that likes what it is experiencing, what it is doing. And literally, it is like a simulated amphetamine. If you look at what television does, that alone, I mean, it is programming. Programming is not a biased thing to call TV. It actually is what TV is. TV, like video games, there is so much stimulus, so much imagery, so much sound, so much of the stimulus. The conscious brain can't keep up. The rest of it gets filtered and goes, of course, directly to the subconscious. That information that cannot be retrieved or understood by the consciousness, believe me, is understood by that other part of your brain, the brain that gets brainwashed. Now, I'll be talking about network TV probably in the next segment. I'll save that for the next. But with video games, because it happens so fast, people wonder why so many young people have what is called ADD. Now, ADD is a name for a symptom of a cause, of course, which we never talk about. Not we being this program, this network. I mean general collective America. Everybody wants to go after the symptom, but never the cause. What is the cause of ADD? What is ADD? This behavior where kids and adults, for that matter, can't seem to focus on a single thing or topic or conversation for more than a few moments. That's, of course, why I'm like that sometimes myself, I suppose, jumping from one thing to another with the news, only because I read so much news, so much external, here we are again, stimuli, that it creates that. So now I'm focusing my message today towards this very simple one. I mean, think about how far we've come over the course of the last decade, for better or for worse. But in terms of technology and this out of balance, which I talk about in terms of our spiritual growth compared to our technological growth, I think I have my own thesis why not only mental illness is becoming more rampant, but this supposed so-called ADD and the behavior of young people in the classrooms. You also have to look, of course, at the toxic food that many of us buy unknowingly, I must add, whether we're buying it from a corporate fast food station or not. The pervasiveness of the poisons, both physical and ideological, are all around us in our midst. So with video games, and we look at the message, every 1 second, every 2 seconds, the image, what they're experiencing, metamorphs and changes. So their brain, at some level, is being, like, induced, given the amphetamine, and it has to keep up. It has to be moving faster, thinking quicker than ever before. It's unnatural. It puts us in an artificial, unnatural state of mind. I am not surprised when I see the garbage young kids and adults put in their body and the kind of activities that they partake in. Unnatural activities. In some cases, very ungodly activities. And you look at all these different things, whether you call yourself a Christian or a Muslim, it's not really what we're talking about. But it is about the health, the actual physical health of the person, where our lifestyles are headed. Now, in terms of network TV, I'll touch upon that now. With a new news item, much of it disinformation, corporate sponsorship, the masters offering the food to the journalists. Never bite the hands that feed you. You learn as a journalist. You learn you never cross the line when you're working for the big papers, when you're working there at the desk. And I'm not talking Lou Dobbs or Oberman. They've worked their way to the top through ratings. That's why they can push the line a little bit. Don't be confused. If you're a little guy on the totem pole, and you want to start speaking out against the president, or you want to give some unbiased information. It's not going to happen. Those offering the food, oh, those offering the money, those giving the jobs, whether it be Clear Channel, whether it be CNN, they're going to dictate the behavior of the journalist. I mean, take a really close look at the journalists today talking to you, the talking heads, even those most especially those locally, whether you're in Austin or whether you're listening in Portland or whether you're listening in New York. See how they look the same, how they talk the same. Well, today we're going to talk about the Iranian leader says he is not going to let the United States attack his nation. He is going to respond. And, of course, he hates the Jews. In case you forgot that, we have to remind you. Now, move on to another story. In another story, the war in Afghanistan is not going as planned, but it is not a civil war. Pause. According to the White House spokesman. At that point, they moved to another story. Today, hey, great new biometric identifiers are now moving into the public educational school system. Sandra Jackson has more on that down at Bowman Elementary. See how calm they are? The glassy look in their eyes. We'll pick up on that when we come back. Think about it. They are zombies. Are you one too? We'll be right back. Coming up next on Good Morning America, we're going to barbecue after looking at the dead bodies of the dead Iraqi girls. More after this. And with their years and years and years of voice lessons, they're still zombies. They're still traitors. They still are not truly believed. But despite the fact whether you think you believe them or not, here's why it is so dangerous to be watching broadcast network cable news today, more than last year, more than the year before. Everything they are doing now, everything that is a part of their brain plan, their battle plan, affects the brain. Each year it gets faster. The graphics get faster, moving you, segueing you from one story to the next. Am I saying there's a master conspiracy at the head of CNN to warp your mind specifically that way? No, I'm not. But I am saying this is where technology is moving us in terms of receiving our news through this network fashion, CNN, Fox News. And a lot of people are affected by the programming of the TV itself, how quick everything has gotten year to year. This year compared to last year, compared to a decade ago, compared to the way TV looked 20, 30 years ago. And that is not even considering the damaging effects of the quote-unquote flicker effect. The damage that the ohms, the sound, the hertz coming out of the television if something were to be broadcast at one specific frequency, you could actually cause a population to start vomiting. You can take a look at Japan and realize what that was most likely was an experiment. Some of these same hertz, these same type of sound buttons going beyond the world of TV are regularly pushing, whether you care about the environment or not, whales, killer whales, out of the ocean. And they wonder why they're up at sea, because they have to get out of the ocean. I read an article last week about how Bush wants to start testing more of these sonic weapons in the ocean, which, of course, affects everything else around us. How healthy is this world, period, now? With the way television looks, the way it feels watching it, its effect upon the brain. But not only that, and I am included in this scenario as well, how do cell phones affect our reproductive organs, our brain as well? When I see someone on the cell phone for 3 hours a day, and you realize that experiments have already been conducted and proved to fry an egg. Anyone who constantly has their cell phone around that not only has a radiation device, perhaps later on in the future, a mind control device. You, of course, have a tracking device, noting your GPS location, which makes it more efficient to track you than a implantable microchip with only RFID technology. This is quite realistic, my friends. And the other fact is what was revealed earlier this week. There are now microphones that are regularly being listened to by cell phones. The FBI is going to start utilizing that tool. Of course, they have microphones in the laptops as well. How pervasive all this has become. It's the mental health of the person living on planet Earth today, the average person, which is most of you, that's going to feel the brunt of it, but we haven't felt the major brunt of it yet, but we will. Now, this next report, in terms of the police state, someone had brought this up to me that was from Oakland, California, from the streets, been in and out of prisons, penitentiaries, whatnot, was explaining to me how things really operate with the LAPD. I remember talking to him about 6 years ago, and this is when he had told me this story, and I thought it was a bit far-fetched considering the source. Well, look at this article, which came out Saturday, according to the Orange County Register in Southern California. Police admit planting evidence. And if you know more about this, you are, of course, free to call at 1-800-313-9443. Huntington Beach chief says officers routinely employ tactics and include civilian vehicles, planting evidence within the civilian vehicles as part of their training exercise. We're not just talking about police corruption. It notes this is part of their training exercise. A Huntington Beach police officer's exoneration for planting a loaded gun in a suspect's car has led to the revelation that the police routinely plant evidence in unsuspecting civilians' vehicles for training exercise. Okay, interesting. This is really weird. Chief Kenneth Small said Friday that police plant contraband, including unloaded weapons, fake drugs, and drug paraphernalia, in suspects' vehicles after they're arrested as a method of training new officers in searches. The training practice came to light Friday after a Huntington Beach man said he learned that an officer who planted a handgun in his car during a traffic stop was exonerated of wrongdoing. Thomas Cox, who was later convicted of traffic and drug violations, said he watched in horror as another officer found the gun in the trunk of his Hyundai, igniting laughter among officers. News of the training technique sparked surprising criticism from police around the country. This is ridiculous. I'm actually going to pick up on this. This is insanity. We'll be right back after this. Called the Twilight Zone, but then again, I would be ripping off the program. I mean, because when I look at this, it says, news of the training technique sparked surprise and criticism from police officers around the country who said planting weapons in civilian vehicles is, quote, inappropriate and, quote, a bad idea. You don't say. This article goes in to list what happened to Thomas Cox, some of the things that happened to him, the fact that he's still facing charges. He's going to be arraigned on the 15th of December for very small infringements. After all the stuff he's had to go through with seeing a gun being pulled out of his car by other cops later on who found the gun and knew it wasn't his. They were laughing because they recognized the gun. This is not even, you can't even describe this and say this is America. This is an article you take, you print out, and you let people know when you talk about a police state, you are not messing around. We are not messing around. This isn't funny. My conversations with the other gentleman He's done time in California penitentiaries. He called this a drop gun. Very similar slang, drop gun. There's no mention of a, quote, drop gun in this article. Nor is there anything rational in this to explain why the guns are there. They never even touched upon, and I'm not accusing the guy who wrote the article of anything. I'm not. A lot of people lose common sense because we have been brainwashed so long. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think people jump to conclusions that listen to programs like this and also hosts that shoot their mouth off on programs like this. I'll include myself as well. We think everything's a conspiracy if an article is written a certain way. That's a result of the mind-washing, the brainwashing. They have a controlled form of reality for them already prepared. But also, those that want to talk about something else, those that want to pry a little deeper, understand there may be a consequence that they have to be prepared to pay for, to go through, to experience. If they are to go after the head of a beast, or if they were to go after a police chief and start to ask the real questions. Why are you putting guns in people's cars? What do you mean this is a training exercise? Yeah, I would say it is a training exercise, but not a training exercise to teach people how to be better cops and servants of the U.S. Constitution! Training. What kind of training? Because as far as I understand, cops are here to upload the Constitution and defend our Bill of Rights, to protect and serve, to be a public servant off of our tax dollars. Whether we want to pay them or not, we're paying them. So damn it, they're going to go to work. No, we're just supposed to accept this. The number one question in this article is not raised. Why? How? How long have people been framed? How many cases, how many innocent people are sitting in the penitentiary right now for a gun charge that they didn't commit because some other cop who was involved in racial profiling, which is normal, which is common, whether you admit it or not, it's happening. I mean, I've heard every racist comment there is, so there's no point in emailing me anything that I haven't heard already. I understand the hatred that many people still have in their hearts for the darker skin. I don't care. I don't have any sympathy for anybody who has those kind of feelings, because when I look at this, I understand the New World Order. When you get and you understand how they divided races up, how they've... I'm not going to get in a tirade because I think a lot of you know. So when you look at an article like this, look at those issues. What are they selling you? And is it a conspiracy, or is the mind-washing, the brainwashing so sophisticated that people don't even know how to be real journalists and ask the real questions? Even this guy here, jmur@register.com, you at least got to ask the question. I mean, you hear about all these allegations. I am innocent. That's not my gun. It kind of brings new question to that. To the automatically going, oh, he is black and he is big and I don't know. You know, they all say they didn't do it. It's probably better that he either be on a plantation or he be in the penitentiary, because he apparently has no business driving a Cadillac being on the street. And if you get real honest, yeehaw, you realize the good old boy network ain't gone nowhere. It's more powerful than ever. But see, they don't care about the whites either. They don't care about the Hispanics. No, they don't care about the Hispanics, even though it seems that they just have the borders wide open. They don't care about any of us, really. The number one problem is we've gotten away from community. We've gotten away to a real intelligent form of, I don't like the word order, but social order, law and order. These people that control our law and order, our social structure, history. In many cases, they are shaping, defining our future. A future many people are too apathetic or numb to realize is not, in fact, a utopia. But the American dream is, in fact, morphing into the American nightmare. What can we do? What should we do? What should we say to stop what we can stop? And, you know, retain some of our sanity. has to take place. But we also have to be above the cutting edge, ahead of the curve. While everyone else is being dumbed down, we have to understand that this Illuminati, this Zionist government within Israel, which also loves to mingle in our government, as I hear more every time I see a Starbucks coffee shop, I think about the war in Lebanon, because I understand that they now receive a certain amount of funding. If you know more specifics about that, I would actually like to know more about that issue. But now I digress. My point is this, with all of these things happening, the Illuminati, this New World Order structure, system of control, the media understands that people want to rebel. The system of control understands that we are not happy with Bush, that we are not pleased with the things that are going on in our name around the world. So what they do is they craft, I'm looking for the right word to describe this, but they have their own cushion. It's like when you're doing martial arts with someone or jiu-jitsu and you throw them down intentionally. They know they're going to go down and there's a mat underneath them to protect their head. And they know how to fall, roll over, and get back up. That's what's happened with this attack upon Sully Bush and Sully Rumsfeld, where we think there is some major progress. In the depths of my own heart, I want to see progress. I want to see this new world order, brick by brick, come towering down, like a Tower of Babel, which it seems to be. But they understand that they need to maintain this illusion of progress. See, you have this juggernaut of power, which is human power, dynamic human power that refuses to submit. This wave, this circle of energy, all these people wanting to get involved in something, wanting to stop this next world war, whether you call it 4 or 3 or 5, that's your own perspective. They're all kind of the same. We don't need them to tell us it's World War III for us to understand what's already happened. Same thing with Iraq. They say it's not a civil war until the White House says so. They want us to constantly be chasing our tail, believing that now the Democrats, that they're in office now, you mean like Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers? Then, of course, you have Howard Dean in there all saying our goal, our motivation, our battle plans is to go after the candidacy. Make sure that the presidency, the Oval White House, is occupied by the Democrats, not the Republicans. What does that have to do with anything? And their rhetoric sounds more ridiculous by the day. We're looking for change in Iraq. We're looking for a new direction in Iraq. They are not looking to exit from Iraq. I mean, really, I'm asking myself, how bad does it actually have to get before the whispering, the murmuring, the silent, quiet talk, wondering if everything is actually okay? And by that I mean the neocons, the servants, the serfs, the cattle, the sheeple, those that believe everything and anything that the official sources tell them. When they look around like chickens, when they start moving around like sheep, wondering, are you actually being prepared for the slaughter? Maybe dinner is in fact you. When people start to look around and go, what is going on? What is happening to our dollar? What the heck is this, Amero? What do you mean, NAFTA Superhighway? They didn't tell us about this. Oh, yes, they and we did. They, those wondering why things are happening in 5 years, for them it's going to be too late because they were warned. They were warned. So for a lot of people, it's going to be a cold shot in the dark. I'm a bit of a softy. I almost, you know, want to cry just for the emotion that I'm going to see people have in the future based upon their own ignorance. People going hungry. People seeing things happen to their significant other that they would perhaps never in their worst nightmare would they have to experience. See, it's just a daily thing for Alex Ansari to wake up in the morning with a solid, neutral state of mind and go to the AP Wire, go to CNN.com, go to anywhere like Google News and go through the world news of the day, of the hour, I should say, and read about a six-year-old girl or a baby getting gang raped in Africa. And you read about this sickness that man seems to suffer from, that there is no solution for. No easy solution of, oh, we're going to throw you all in jail and you'll learn, because we here in the United States have 7 million people either in prison or on probation. Few of them are truly rehabilitated afterwards, and a lot of you know that. In other countries where the treatment is even more harsh as a result of a certain lack of law when it comes to the respect of human life, it is horrific. I wonder sometimes how society, psychologically, with all this insanity happening, how some people are able to hold it together. Now, those people that throughout this whole time have been on the edge, either going, I'm kind of feeling okay as I look at this, or I'm not feeling okay. In the years to come, they're going to be more leaning towards, if they're not doing the right thing, not feeling okay and being psychotic. Because from the video games, through the network television, through the way we live, to the invasive advertising, such as, think about billboards and blimps flying through the sky, nowhere to run, nowhere to escape from the constant advertising telling you something. So since our lives have become so out of balance, not just in terms of the respect for human life, which I talk quite a bit about on the television program, the whole concept of respect for human life, with that gone and with other elements gone, insanity is the only thing waiting for people in the wings. Whether you choose to call that schizophrenia, bipolar, ADD, it's happening, and it's happening now. And, of course, the drug companies are making a lot, aren't they? But for myself, before I got sidetracked, I wake up and I read these articles, like this one, which I'll get into in just a sec, and I, in my own heart, maintain a sense of equilibrium, as many of you do by now. It's not the same to read a headline like this as it was 6 years ago. Boy, 14 years old, fatally shot after egging SUV. This is just another random report from Life in America. Report today. CNN.com. And you're reading it and you're going, huh. And you read the facts and you understand what went wrong. And you move on to the next story. Now, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, this stuff wasn't happening at the same rate or ratio that it is today. People are lying to you and they're brainwashed when they say these things have always happened, that in fact it's not a big deal. I mean, they'll actually say things, and I'm not just talking about neocons. I'm just talking about, I listen very carefully, by the way, to the words that come out of the mouth of the phenomenally ignorant. Phenomenally ignorant. Because I, like you, am always asking myself, how can they not see? Here's the article. A boy like many of you were at one time, at the same age many of you were at one time, 14 years old. Well, he was throwing eggs. I've done that before at cars along with two other teenagers. He was shot and killed by someone who had been in a sport utility vehicle that was hit. Now, he wasn't shot by the cops. He was just killed by someone else. Now, his name was Danny Crawford. He was killed by a gunshot wound to his upper body, according to the Franklin County Coroner Office. He died in an alley on the city's west side early Saturday, according to authorities. I'm actually not sure which county, what state that refers to, because the rest isn't mentioned. But does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter? How are people in your community treating each other? I read another report that also bothered me that was a lot like this one. Another boy, mischievous boy, about the same age, was shot also with a shotgun. And those of you know guns, even if you don't know guns, understand what a shotgun is. It blows you apart. It blows your stomach apart. Well, this young guy from a few months ago walked across his neighbor's lawn before his neighbor, who told the police he just couldn't take it anymore. The kid had been abusing him by walking on his lawn. He hated it. It was his property. So he killed him. One day he just snapped and he killed him. And you hear about these stories of men killing their wives, killing their children. And you start to ask yourself, and I feel crazy saying it when I say that, and it makes me sound like a Bible thumper almost, which I'm not. But I'm speaking from the heart when I talk about this beast energy and man, and I sound so apocalyptic, and I hear myself back on the tape, and I'm going, man, I sound like I'm really getting extreme. But am I really getting that extreme? I mean, I read it, and I read it, and I read it. And this is what I'm seeing, and this is what you're seeing too. Unless we start reversing this darkness, we're just going to experience more of it. I'll get back into that when we get right back, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Okay. Just a few other pieces of information that I want to cover before the show was out. If you want to mail something to me, if you have a pen and paper, go ahead and grab it. You can send your letters, music, DVDs, things you might want to get seen on the television program, little 5-minute clips, things of that nature. I'm going to mention this more. I haven't mentioned a lot because I haven't had a P.O. box yet. I'm going to give you an address in just a second here that I'm going to be using, promoting for the next couple months. And then I'm going to flip over to the P.O. box, which I'm trying to get at the moment. So that's Alex Ansari, care of KMHC, at 26000, that's 2600, Southeast Stark Street, Stark, S-T-A-R-K, Gresham, Oregon, 97030. It's 2600 Southeast Stark Street, Gresham, Oregon, 97030. For donations, I also accept checks, CODs, and, of course, money orders. Now, one of the other things that I'm going to be working on over the Christmas break, I don't have a lot of time to myself, is getting some DVDs ready. I haven't mailed out any DVDs. All of my shows are solely available on Google Video. That is my interview with Alex Jones, Wayne Mattson, Galen Ross, many other people that I've interviewed, too many to mention. My mind's gone blank at the moment. Jim Mars, David Icke, Alan Watt, Jack Blood as well, both in person and on the radio. So I want to be able to get some of that out there because there's not really any DVDs of my show in circulation. So I have an online auction right now on eBay. I go ahead just to get my credit score up because I'm at 3 right now. Get me up to 5 or 6 or 7. In terms of customer approval rating, and then I'll get set up and I'll start making that available in a couple weeks. So your support is needed on that. Of course, I'm going to keep them affordable, never more than $5 or $10 for a DVD. Maybe I'll, try and send out a couple at a time. But in the meantime, we covered a lot of news. We covered a lot of information. Isn't it interesting how it sounds so similar to what I reported last week? And how it's going to sound similar to what I report tomorrow. That's not always a good thing, in my eyes. I think it's always good to keep it fresh. But understand what is this common theme that we're talking about in our constant quest to move this information as it already is, without me, out of the underground and into the mainstream, directly the result of people understanding this police state control grid more in their local community. Hear about Orange County. Okay, and all the corruption there with the police. And then I start to hear more and more stories about the police state here in my own city of Portland, Oregon, and realize it's actually much larger than I ever really thought. But you get to a point where the screaming, the yelling reaches what I would call its peak, its maximus, its top point, best moment. And then you got to get a little deeper. Really understand, why is a police state here? Not a lot of this is really conspiratorial or covert. It's not. It's very out in the open. It really is. So it tells you a lot about the mass hypnosis, psychosis, the trance that pervades the minds of millions of Americans. People are waking up, and that's the thing to focus on. When we look at the negative, we look at the positive. Our victories are actually larger, I think, in many cases, than we, in fact, give them credit for. See you tomorrow.